Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, trying to fight for a little faith, family, and freedom, trying to keep the Christian faith alive, especially in the education of my children, trying to keep some semblance of family integration in the 21st century, where the family is way, way, way more disintegrated than it's ever been, thanks to mostly our socioeconomic systems, where dad left the family farm, mom left the family farm, the kids were shuffled off to age-segregated schools, and gradually over time, you tended to get a massively segregated system where families weren't eating together, families weren't discipling their children, families weren't doing anything together, and young ladies get careers and they shuffle their kids off to daycare when they're like 2 weeks old. Okay, so that's where we are right now, and we don't like that society. And by the way, we also like freedom. It turns out where you break down family, where you break down morality, where you break down faith, usually you get government growing and becoming more and more socialistic Marxist, like our government, for example, and pretty much every other government in the developed world over the last 100 years or so. And there's a reason why governments were taking about 8% of the GNI back in 1900. Now the number is between 50 and 60%. Okay, that's called more government in your life. Okay, for those of you who have a hard time with math, 8% versus 60%. Okay, 60% is greater than 8%. Government is way bigger than it was in 1900. Period. Just at least understand that's where you live. That's who you have become. You have become tyrannized. And I don't like communism. I don't like Marxism. I don't like socialism. I like freedom. I like freedom from big government. I don't like local governments. I don't like state governments. I don't like federal governments to sit around telling me what to do all day long. Okay? And it usually happens because people seek security in the state, and the reason they seek security in the state is they're not seeking it in God, and they are immoral. And immoral people tend to look to the government to take care of them. Usually what happens, as our founders would say, people like William Penn would say, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. Okay, that's what William Penn would say. Benjamin Franklin had something similar. Our founding fathers understood that if you were immoral, you would be tyrannized, and that's pretty much who we've become. All right, now, homeschooling has some benefits to us. Not the only answer. It's not the panacea, and sometimes it's used badly. Okay, as homeschoolers, you can not fear God in your homeschool classroom as well as public schools. Okay, you can pull that off. You can forget to pray to God. You can forget to worship God. You can forget to praise God for his scientific creation and all the rest, okay? So homeschooling is a great idea, though, and I'm a big advocate of it. Why? Because at the very least, you get unplugged from the matrix that is largely controlled by the National Education Association. And by the way, Supreme Court decisions that came down in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s really specifically said you cannot fear God, worship God, praise God, or pray to God in public school classrooms. That's what the Supreme Court decision said. And because of that, they have cowed many, many teachers out of teaching Genesis or teaching the worship of God, teaching the fear of God in public school classrooms. And I personally believe that to be unacceptable for the education of my children. Okay, so now, here we have homeschoolers that are moving back towards socialist systems, and they do it everywhere. It's happening in just about every other state right now. California, Alaska, Colorado, even Texas. I didn't realize Texas is filled with all this socialist junk. And that is what the minute you start seeing that there's something related to freedom. People are actually pulling their kids out, making their own decisions. Parents actually picking their own curriculum. And some of it's Christ-centered. Some of it has real strong biblical roots to it. And the minute that happens, of course, there's an enemy out there. He goes, that's unacceptable. And so he steps in and says, here, I got a really good deal for you. I'll give you a free computer. I'll give you $2,000 a year. I'll give you all these books for free. Just sign up for my program. It's not Christ-centered. It's not really family-directed. It's not free from government control. But it's still happening in your home. It's just that we've taken away all the stuff that really made Christian homeschooling effective in this great battle for the hearts and minds of the next generation. We're taking all that away, and we are going to control it as government officials, and we're giving you all this curriculum. And it's free. It's really free. It's really free. It's good stuff. It's free. You got a free computer, too. Hey, what a deal. So, Dave, guess what happens? About a third to a half of homeschoolers go for it right off. That's what happens. Anyway, here's a story from Texas, and this comes from TheBlaze.com. What is TheBlaze.com?
That's Glenn Beck's news agency.
Okay. It's Glenn Beck's thing. Okay, Blaze.com covers a story in Texas. Apparently, there is a program like what I've talked about, the C-Scope program in Texas, and Common Core standards as well on a national basis, that's apparently infiltrating into the homeschool programs by way of the public school-funded homeschool programs. And here's what they're saying. As a greater level of scrutiny is being placed on the controversial curriculum system, C-Scope in Texas, Common Core standards, concerned parents spoke to the Blaze about their troubling experience, revealing that not even homeschooling is beyond the reach of these encroaching systems. Kevin Card, a former Marine from Houston, has homeschooled his children for the last 6 years, thought his family was safe from the reach of Common Core, but soon learned otherwise. As noted on his blog 2 years ago, Pearson Education, which is linked to Common Core, acquired Texas Connections Academy. Which, by the way, we have a Connections Academy out here as well. Again, the big, mega, large online charter schools that apparently are being controlled now by Common Core-oriented programs. Now, big surprise, okay? The free government program that got all the government dollars is now plugged into the large socialist system and the control of the Common Core standards. And here's what Kevin Carr, this former Marine from Houston, said. He said, it blew my mind. We told the Blaze in an interview. They made kids watch a video that makes capitalism look bad and communist China look good. It's absolutely unbelievable. There's some screenshots of the program China Rises, along with the video that Card was able to record and save for his own records. It's a big surprise. So the communists are making it into homeschools all across America now through the Connections Academy. Connections Academy, you know, you get these big glossy brochures all the time. You're like, you got some kind of rinky-dink homeschool funded by $200 of hard-earned money on the part of mom and dad? Well, we've got a free program. It's value-wise, $3,500, free computer. And all this free curriculum is free, it's free, it's free. And they sneak in the pro-communist stuff after a while. Something similar happened out on the western slope of Colorado. There's a free program out there. The problem is they were using Christian curriculum for a while. Well,
right.
Well, initially they asked them to rip the covers off of the books because there was like words like biblical and Christian and stuff on the covers. So first thing they had to do was rip the covers off the books. Now I think they've just disallowed the use of Christian curriculum entirely. So again, it's the bait and switch. It's the classic nose of the camel under the tent. It's just the government wants to control everything and destroy everything that is good. I think that's what's happening here, Dave.
The government powers, agents. Yeah.
The powers that be are run by trillions and trillions of dollars. They move in on rinky-dink homeschooling parents who are trying to live free and trying to provide a little bit of Christian curriculum for their kids. And inevitably, Dave, I'm talking probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of homeschoolers, are going to be co-opted by this kind of stuff.
They are. And to homeschoolers out there, I have two things to say to you. First is, the nose of the camel looks nothing like the whole camel. You know, when you just see that little nose, it looks harmless. But the other end of the camel, not so harmless.
Do we need to tell people what this is all about, the camel? tell them the stories. It's an Arabian tale or something, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't even know the whole story, but apparently there was a cold evening out somewhere in the Arabian desert, and this sheik or this Bedouin was in his tent and nice and cozy, and his camel was outside and didn't think it was very fair that it had to be outside in the cold. Yeah. And so the camel asked if it could come in. He said, no, well, how about if I just put my head in? No, the camel doesn't belong in the tent. What if I just put my nose in the tent? Okay, you can just have your nose. Well, of course, that lasted a short while, and then he said, you know, how about, can I get up to my eyes? Can I get up to my eyes in the tent?
My eyes are cold.
My eyes are cold, yeah. You know, you wouldn't want a blind camel. And so, okay, you can stay in the eyes. And, of course, this works on until the whole camel is in the tent, and the man is outside. The camel is taken over.
Which is what government programs do. I mean, let's face it, that's what they do. Has there ever been an exception to that rule? Where governments say, hey, let me control this. Hey, let me fund this. If I fund this, we'll maintain just a little bit of parental control here, but let me just a little bit of funding here, a little bit of control. That's all I really want.
And that's
and then
the
after a while,
point,
guess what happens? After a while, turns out government controls the whole shooting match.
Right, and that's the second point. What the government funds, the government gets to control. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to come and they're going to work like a drug pusher. They're going to get you hooked on a little bit, on a little sample. I'll give you a little computer. I'll give you another book. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Each time they're taking more incremental control until they control every part of the child's education, at least every part of the curriculum. And by the way, they're also going to take over the mode and how it's done, the number of hours, where you can teach, how you can teach. But once they take over your homeschool, that's not the whole camel, Kevin. People think that's the whole camel. That's not
no.
They've taken over. Now they've taken
shoulders.
Over the home.
Yeah.
Now they can say what kind of light bulbs, whether or not you can have guns, the size of your toilets, because they now control your school, which is government property, the way they look at it.
Does anybody like freedom? Does anybody like freedom? Would you like to be free? At some point, would you just like to say, hey, I don't want the government controlling everything. I don't want this government to be totally socialistic and communistic. I would like a little freedom, economically speaking, and I would like a little freedom to get my kids out of these systems where they will be programmed to be little socialists and appreciate every little socialist program the government ever did because they attended socialist schools and they've been programmed to be socialists. Does anybody want to be free from that? Is anybody irritated at all that these homeschool programs in Texas have been co-opted by communists and people that hate capitalists? He says this whole China Rises thing talks about how wonderful the communist government has been for the economy. And he says there's also a section in the site about capitalism's cruelties as it shows a man who lost his hand in a machine.
Wow. Does it show any dead babies?
Does it show hundreds of millions of cadavers in the killing fields of Cambodia, in China, in the Soviet Union? Does it show all of the hundreds of millions of people who've been losing not just hands but their entire lives to the cruelties of communism and to the tyrants, the despots that controlled and centralized as much power as they possibly could in order to bring about some of the most cruel persecutions on Christians and innocent citizens that the world has ever seen in the history of the world. Friends, the Roman Empire killed somewhere between 2 and 8 million people over 475 years, and the communist governments of the last 100 years have killed upwards of 200 million, making them 100 times more cruel, more wicked, more horrendous than anything the world has ever seen. Okay, is that going to be taught in the Connections Academy curriculum in Texas, where they're trying to co-opt homeschools?
Well, Kevin,
Colorado, for that matter.
Typically, we point out that fascist and communist governments are not very efficient in the market. It turns out that they are efficient at one thing. They're more efficient at killing their people.
Okay, you're right. Okay, they're efficient at something. Okay, thanks for qualifying that, Dave. All right, in just a moment, we'll be back with more. A little freedom, friends. Just a little freedom, okay? Somebody. A dad. A mom. Somebody out there saying would love to be free from the socialist schools. Just free. I just would love to have the responsibility to make the decisions to fund the education of my own children. And if I receive the responsibility, maybe God will give me the freedom. And oh, by the way, he's done that. Homeschooling is free in 50 states around America. A little more freedom. A little more freedom. Would somebody want to struggle for a little more freedom? And would they give up maybe a little bit of their own money for a little bit of freedom? I mean, our forefathers shed their blood, put their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor on the line for freedom. And Americans won't do that for $3,000 and a free computer. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
It's that time again to mark your calendars and plan to attend this year's Homeschool Day at the Capitol in Denver, Colorado, occurring April 12th. Come hear Rick Boyer and his son, Rick Jr., as they speak on godly government, America's need for reformation, as well as a new class on political activism. Events include the Liberty Celebration, the annual march around the Capitol, and the noon rally on the West Steps. For more information or to register, go online to check.org. That's check.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, talking about the importance of freedom, and freedom, of course, being freedom under the principles of God's Word, under the principles of God's law. That is, when we incorporate God's law, we maximize freedom. Now, the other side of the story, the John Stuart Mill or the Jeremy Bentham version of this, is if we live extremely immoral lives, we will maximize our liberty by living immoral lives, even though we must, in the process of living immorally, subject ourselves to the tyranny of governments. So that's the way things usually work for the humanists. They believe maximum liberty is breaking all of God's laws and submitting themselves to tyrannical governments. We believe the opposite. We believe that maximum liberty occurs when we submit ourselves to the laws of God. And if we do so, there will be a morality, a strength of family, a strength of our basic social unit, such that we will be able to experience much liberty from the imposition of strong governments upon us. And that's the Christian view of these sorts of things. And God's law, of course, maximizes that. God's law doesn't involve a lot of regulation. God's law permits governments up to about 10% of the gross national income. God's law does not allow the government to tax one particular group of people over or more than any other group of people within the area. And God's law ultimately will provide the most liberty. That is, if you just read God's word and how it applies to the civil government from Old to New Testament, you're going to find that God's law generally goes after the bad guys that murder, rape, and kill. But that's about it. Doesn't really regulate people all that much. It does go after issues like abortion, infanticide, homosexuality, and some of the more egregious crimes. But it doesn't, it sort of leaves people alone, generally speaking. Doesn't regulate them to death, doesn't require a police force in every single home. It doesn't require all kinds of regulations on what you do, on your business, on your home, on your family. It doesn't involve government funding of education. God's law involves a tremendous amount of liberty, and of course it involves the liberty to protect yourself and your family, certainly your household, from marauders. And it also allows you to have swords or guns to protect yourself, your family. Jesus at one point instructed his disciples to go and get a sword as a means of self-defense. Okay, now, Dave Buhner is in studio. We've had this conversation before about guns, Dave. And here is an interesting story from World Magazine in relation to a Christian view of guns and armaments. And apparently, the United Nations has just finally passed a treaty called the Arms Treaty or the Arms Trade Treaty. The first ever international arms trade treaty approved by the United Nations. After 7 years of back and forth, the United Nations Tuesday, with the backing of the United States, passed the first ever treaty regulating the international arms trade. The treaty also gained the unusual backing of a number of Christian organizations, the National Association of Evangelicals, National Council of Churches, and the Christian Reformed Church of North America, CRC Church, Dave. Support for a UN arms treaty is a turnaround for the United States government. The Bush administration declined to pursue the treaty, but the Obama administration has since taken it up. Evidently, those opposing it include the National Rifle Association, that opposes the treaty on the grounds that it could infringe on America's gun rights and add burdensome regulations on American gun dealers. One treaty alone cannot end war and violence. This, according to the Christian organizations, the National Association of Evangelicals, the Christian Reformed Church, et cetera, et cetera. But the arms trade treaty can help keep weapons out of the hands of those threatening U.S. troops, missionaries, humanitarian workers, and innocent citizens around the globe.
How?
I don't know. They didn't say how. And later somebody came back and said, well, this might prevent missionaries from having arms. And they said, well, they didn't know that missionaries needed to protect themselves. Now, Dave, here's really ultimately the way that the conservatives take this. The Heritage Foundation has followed the treaty process closely, said that bad actors likely will flaunt the treaty while using it to constrain law abiders like the United States. So Iran might continue to supply arms to terrorists, but bring charges against the United States if the United States theoretically attempted to arm rebels in Iran. So, you know, if, again, the idea that you can trust your enemies,
in a world where man is depraved and where man lies all the time. He'll sign treaties that he doesn't agree with. He'll, in fact, wasn't it Adolf Hitler that signed a number of treaties and said, what does a signature mean on a treaty? Guys, this is what the bad guys do all the time. Brings up Rudyard Kipling's poem again, Dave. I know we've used the Gods of the Copybook headings many times in the past, but here's one of the classic lines from Gods of the Copybook headings. When the Cambrian measures were forming, they promised perpetual peace. That's the United Nations, what they're talking about. They promised perpetual peace. They swore if we gave them our weapons that the wars of the tribes would cease. But when we disarmed, they sold us and delivered us bound to our foe. And the Gods of the Copybook headings said, stick to the devil, you know. Again, Rudyard Kipling, a conservative. Okay, in a better sense of the word, we've talked about how conservatives tend to do all the wrong things. But there used to be conservatives that still believed in the inherent wickedness of men and the importance of balance of powers. And treaties like this don't allow for much of that, Dave. And moreover, it appears to me that there are evangelicals that really do not consider gun rights to be important.
There are evangelicals who don't believe that it's the duty of a father to protect his family. They don't believe it's the duty of a magistrate to protect its citizens. They believe if you could just get rid of guns, you get rid of bad people or something. I don't know what they believe. It's irrational. It seems to me that every time a big UN treaty is signed, it never advances goodness, righteousness. It's really the Tower of Babel, located right there in New York City, where centralized power comes. Bad people, I mean really horrible bad people who murder and rape and torture are telling civilized people, or at least people who don't murder, rape, and torture, how they should live, and they're doing it with a straight face, and we're giving them the stage. You know, one of the principles of good governance is self-governance. And you never trust somebody who can't govern themselves to govern millions.
Dave, back to this issue of guns. It appears the National Rifle Association is taking a position against the National Association of Evangelicals. This may be the first time I've seen this. And this is a World Magazine article, by the way. Don't know if I mentioned that. But it does appear that there is a group of evangelicals that really don't believe in gun rights and don't consider it to be a priority.
Like I said, it's not about gun rights. I think they don't believe in the duty of protecting of self and of those under you.
Yeah, because they're antinomian about this. And we talked about a mainline pastor, a big shot pastor in America. I'm not going to mention his name now. He's kind of a good guy in many ways. I like him in many ways. But he did say if somebody broke into his house, he would not defend his family. The bad guys could do whatever they wanted in his home, and they could do whatever to his daughter and to his wife, and he would not intervene.
Right.
And that was egregious. I thought, now that does not love your neighbor as yourself. Because the most loving thing you can do is to stop an evil man from doing something evil and to protect your own family from an evil man doing something evil to them. Now, see, that's God's law. That's somebody who's committed to loving his neighbor as himself and understands that if somebody breaks in the dark, it's appropriate to kill him and no blood shall be shed for him. Very important passage in Exodus chapter 21. Nehemiah 4 and verse 14, fight for your families, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives. Defend them. So there are clear passages in Scripture that encourage the defense of human life. We have clear indications from Old Testament law. Now, I know some people reject Old Testament law. Jesus didn't. I don't. Just read Matthew 5:17-19. Jesus said every jot and tittle is important here. And I use every jot and tittle to understand ethical situations and apply God's law to ethical situations in my present situation. So I do that because Jesus did. And I think it's important. Jesus brought out the same thing in Matthew 15 when he applied the law against the incorrigible young man who's beating on his parents as a means of teaching how important it was to honor mother and father. So now, I believe that we ought to apply Old Testament law to New Testament times. And one of the ways to do that is to bring in these passages relating to loving our neighbor as ourselves and protecting human life and going after evil people who do evil things and do our best to stop them from doing these evil things. It's important for us to do this. Now, of course, in different contexts, we may apply it slightly differently, but this is an application of loving our neighbor as ourselves.
It's also an application of ruling, having authority. When you have authority over something, you also have a responsibility to protect. So a government, a civil magistrate, has authority over its citizens, but it must protect them as well. That's part of its obligation. A husband has authority over his wife. He's got to protect her as well. He has authority over his children. He has to protect them as well. He has authority over his crops, his livestock, and he has to protect them. If a thief comes in, he needs to protect his crops in order that he might protect his family, in order that he might protect his nation. This is part, and this is understood from the beginning of time, from the garden when Eve was given to Adam. This was not just to help me. The Hebrew word there as he receives her is to surround her, to care for her. This is part of the obligation that goes with being a ruler. And a pastor, by the way, has to be one who rules his household well. How else can he rule? That is protect the household of God. What does a shepherd do? He protects.
Dave, one of the things that I'm challenged with, though, is where is gun rights in terms of our priorities? Now, again, this is a little more of a strategic issue. When it comes to all of your freedoms, all of your rights, and all of the responsibilities that God has laid out to us in His Word, some sins are more egregious in the sight of God than others. Some things are more severe. Some forms of tyranny are more severe than other forms of tyranny. And I think we got a wisdom call here, and I don't want people to write in and say, you know, you guys have taken a position that's wrong on this because I happen to believe that guns are more important than the pro-life issue or whatever. I think it is important, though, for every family to make that judgment call. What are the important issues? And, Dave, I think guns are important. I think the right to own guns and to protect our families is important. Now, is it the most important thing in the world? I think the most important thing in the world is still the responsibility of a man of God to stand up and preach the Word of God. Because it seems to me that the disciples, you know, I think they had swords, and they probably were able to defend themselves in certain contexts. But it seems to me that their priority was preaching the Word. And when the magistrate came in and said, you can't preach against homosexuality, or you can't preach repentance on this issue or that issue, you can't preach faith in Jesus Christ or the resurrection of Christ. When they came in, what did the disciples say? They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so the priority most certainly is the application of the Word of God to the salient sins of the day and to call men and women to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead.
Yeah, Kevin, one of the issues here is we have to make sure we don't confound authority and jurisdiction. When Peter chopped off the ear of the soldier from the temple in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was acting outside of his jurisdiction, and Jesus chastised him for that. He was not operating properly. Thought he was protecting his Lord, but he wasn't within jurisdiction, as I understand it. So there are many people who will point to the New Testament and verses like that. So they say we should never bring up sword. Well, that's confounding the whole jurisdictional issue. What bothers me is that Christians right now are very animated, even frothing, about the Second Amendment rights issue. But I believe it's a derivative issue. In other words, we don't have the right to guns to keep guns. We have the right to have the guns in order that we might worship God and live peaceably. If you don't have the right to guns, you don't get the right to worship God peaceably.
And to defend your family. And if you're the kind of guy who doesn't care about the family, let's say he's divorced his wife, he beats on his kids, but he wants the right to own his guns. Well, there's a guy who doesn't understand the purpose for guns. The purpose of guns is to love your neighbor as yourself, to defend your family. And if you've been destroying the family, while at the same time you're trying to retain some kind of gun rights, man alive, there's a guy who's got his priorities upside down.
Exactly. And if you don't care about the children being killed down at the Planned Parenthood Center, but you care more about getting 17 bullets in your gun magazine, that really gets you excited. I'm thinking maybe your heart is a little misplaced. If you care more about whether or not you can have a foldable stock on your pistol/rifle than you care about no-fault divorce laws in the country, I think your priorities are a little mixed up. Not to say that guns aren't important. Guns are a means that God has given us in order to secure these other rights, especially the right of self-government. But, man alive, the more important issues are protecting the family, protecting life, worshiping God, and keeping His commandments.
Okay, friends, we're clean out of time, but I've got a fair amount on this, on fighting for freedom, of establishing priorities for freedom, and defending these freedoms, and hopefully establishing these freedoms in a free country sometime in the future. In my book, The Second Mayflower. Now, thankfully, this nation was founded on a concept of freedom that was largely based in the laws of God, the principles that are found in God's Word. And because of that, we have a free nation that was really probably the freest nation the world has seen, and defended those freedoms by way of a Bill of Rights for many hundreds of years. Well, not so much anymore. And the leftists, the socialists, the Marxists are doing everything they can to destroy this nation and create total government. But my encouragement is to start right now on the micro level and train your children in the principles of God's Word. Train them in a godly understanding of governments, of our own history. The principles upon which the nation was founded. And that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. If you're interested in the book, The Second Mayflower, which is sort of the visionary book that really launched this program about 10 years ago. If you're interested in that book, I encourage you to grab a copy of it at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.